The day's top stories, the best bets, and Jason Page. This is the Cash In Early Edition.
Good to have you with us on a Monday, September the 18th, 2023. 20-second thoughts on every NFL game from Sunday. That's coming up. You want it fast? You'll get it fast. Sam Yarnell hanging out with us as well. But we start things on this Monday with some college football conversation. And to do that, we bring in our friend. He does a great job on it. Bill Bender, of course, with the Sporting News, their national college football writer. All right, got to start with the obvious in Colorado. The come-from-behind win in stirring fashion in overtime, able to beat Colorado State. Now, they were down 27-17, and I'm not going to lie. I think I was one of the people crushing them on social media when they got down in the fourth quarter of that game before they rallied to win. Has some of the facade come down here? How much was this the Travis Hunter injury? Look, they've beaten Nebraska. They've beaten Colorado State. Do they come back down to earth next weekend? Where are you on this sort of big story involving Colorado?
Yeah, I mean, the media coverage is a little over the top at this point. It's gone from
a little.
I think, but I mean, media companies are going to cash in on what's popular. And right now, there's not a more popular team than Colorado. And Shedeur Sanders, to me, remains the center of the story. It's not Deion's great. You know, Travis Hunter, that injury was unfortunate, but without Shedeur Sanders, they're not winning that game on Saturday. The way that he was able to quickly take them 98 yards with 36 seconds to spare. So I think it will peak over the next 2 weeks when they play Oregon and USC, and if they lose those games, then Colorado will probably fade a little bit. But, I mean, they're still going to make the postseason probably. They're going to create some momentum for next year. And I think it does center around Shedeur with the understanding that, again, I mean, the media coverage, I think we've jumped the shark a little bit.
Just a little. I mean, look, I agree with you on Shedeur Sanders. And the one thing that blows my mind is for his versatility and being able to move around the pocket and outside the pocket, his accuracy throwing the football is stunningly good. That's one of the things that I've come away with. Again, take away who they're playing against and all that stuff. He's still fitting throws into tight windows while on the move in a way that's reminiscent of some of the great quarterbacks that we see in the NFL doing it at that level. Here's a question I have for you, though. And I think I'm right about his eligibility. He could walk after this year if he wanted to, right?
Mm-hmm. And if he, yeah, and that's the big question. Does he come back for one more year? And you saw the Mel Kiper report last week that said that he could be a first-round pick. I believe it. I mean, you know, you said all those things that are the best attributes, the leadership, the clutch, throws. He's really good on third and fourth down. He's accurate. He's taking too many sacks because Colorado's offensive line isn't that great and doesn't have a ton of depth. And that's going to be the big thing this week when they go to Oregon. You know, Oregon can get after the passer. Oregon has an offense that can keep up. And I think that's what makes it intriguing with this, despite everything. So last week, Colorado was a 3-touchdown favorite and they won. This week, they're a 3-touchdown underdog. Can they pull off a similar act?
9 or 10 personal fouls, by the way, for Colorado State in that game. It's just mind-blowing that a team could have that many self-inflicted wounds. Alabama outside the top 10, first time in a long time. I think 128 weeks, something like that, they'd been in the top 10. Is it deserved? And how surprising is it to see that we are a few weeks into the season and their quarterback situation is completely up in the air?
Yeah, and they don't have the right answer. And all three of the guys haven't really taken hold of the job. I mean, Tyler Buchner had his chance, didn't play well. Jalen Milroe, it was a little weird to me that he didn't play much this week, if at all. He didn't play at all. And now Ty Simpson. So I honestly don't know who they're going to throw out there against Ole Miss on Saturday. I know they're going to play with some desperation. That line caught me off guard because if there was ever a time to pick Ole Miss to beat Alabama, it's probably this week. So, you know, but just when we want to pile all the dirt on Alabama is when they end up winning a game. So I did think the offense looked a little better with Ty Simpson in there, and we'll see if that continues this week.
What surprised you most outside of, you know, what we saw with Colorado, the news out of Alabama, the quarterback situation there? What was the biggest surprise to you in this week in college football?
Well, I mean, you know, like Colorado was a surprise. Tennessee probably laying the egg that they laid down in Florida. And I know they haven't won at Florida in 20 years. But to go down there, not be able to run the ball, fall behind 26-7, not all on Joe Milton, but not looking like the offense that they had last year that could score 40, 45 points on anybody, and a big win for Florida at the Swamp. Sometimes those streaks, when they get to that point, they become psychological, and I think that's what happened with Tennessee.
I don't get to talk to you towards the end of the week, so I get you at the beginning of the week, so it's kind of hard to do a complete preview of it, but Notre Dame, Ohio State, talk about the way Notre Dame has played early on. I think they're ranked 9th in the country, and some thoughts on this matchup with Ohio State.
Oh, it's huge. It's Notre Dame's best chance to beat Ohio State in my lifetime. This will be the 6th time they've played in my lifetime. They've lost the last 5 by 14.5 points. So they have the right quarterback. They have a big play passing game. The bad news is that I think Ohio State put it together last week on both sides. Their defense has been much better under Jim Knowles, not allowing too many big plays. And Kyle McCord settled in at the starter. So, I mean, I think this is a game where Ohio State kind of reaffirms that they're top material. But I will say Notre Dame definitely has a chance to win this game. It's the first time in those 6 times that I mentioned that I actually feel like, hey, you know, Notre Dame could go out and win this football game.
We talk about Tua Tagovailoa a lot. How about his brother? I mean, this kid at Maryland, he can play. And, you know, I think of the Maryland years under Randy Edsall, which were just so lean. And now you look at him with Tagovailoa. How good is the brother?
Well, he's really experienced. You know, he's played a lot of football. Maryland's out there, 3-0 start, hovering around almost ranked. And they took care of business in their non-con game. So I think for them, the real statement, you look at Talia's numbers, they pushed Michigan last year. They pushed Ohio State last year. They played well in those games, but not well enough to win. Can he have that signature victory against either Michigan or Ohio State? They've never beat Ohio State. They beat Michigan their first year in the Big Ten. That was a far different Michigan program than what they'll see this year.
Of the teams that have had these early good starts, like a Maryland, like a Duke, who you throw into the equation, a top 25 team, give me one that you think has staying power.
I think Duke will hang around in the ACC race. I mean, because they have Riley Leonard. They can't peek ahead this week. They go to UConn. They'll win that game. But then they got Notre Dame on September 30th. So who knew that, you know, Duke could have this memorable September, potentially beat Clemson and Notre Dame in the same month if they can pull that upset off and build toward what could be a really good showdown against North Carolina and Drake May, who's also undefeated and who has also had an impressive first month of the season with their non-conference victory. So Riley Leonard, Drake May turn out to be the best underrated quarterback showdown we watch all year, and it was pretty good last year.
In the pack, give me, you know, the team that you've seen so far that could disrupt what USC is trying to do.
You know, I think Washington has to be the answer there. Michael Penix has been incredible. The receiving game has been great. He's got 2 guys that had 1,000 yards last year. Jalen McMillan's still healthy. The way that they just went into Michigan State, and I know it's Michigan State, but still going into a Big Ten house way across the country, future conference partner, by the way, and dominated the game from start to finish. So I think Michael Penix, he's playing with extreme efficiency, top line. I mean, Shadur, Michael Penix, and Caleb would probably all be in New York if the season was over.
Do you think Sanders has enough staying power that he'll be able to get through the bumps in the schedule and be on the stage and when we get to the end of the season for the Heisman?
Well, we'll find out. I mean, he'll get his largest stage here in 2 weeks. I mean, that game against USC may be the most watched game of September, which is wild to think, but all you have to do is look at the TV ratings. You know, I mean, there's a good chance Colorado will have 3 of the top 10 games through 3 weeks, depending on what the TV ratings look like tomorrow. And it's only going to get more interesting if they hang with Oregon. You know, they're big TV. We talked about the jump in the shark with the media coverage, but the media covers things that are popular, and they're the most popular team. Now, if you'd have told me in July, Jason, that Colorado is going to have three of the top seven most watched games through the first 3 weeks of the season, I would have said no way.
It's amazing. They are the shiny object right now. Bill Bender does a great job, the sporting news on college football. Hey, have a great week, my friend. Always appreciate it.
Hey, thank you.
Always love talking to Bill Bender and getting some thoughts with him on college football. By the way, that Colorado-Oregon game this weekend, number 18 Colorado, number 13 Oregon. Again, look at the polls and get all goofy and excited, and college game day's in Boulder and it's all great. Just take your cues from Vegas, though, when it comes to what the reality is. Colorado's a 21.5 point underdog as an 18th ranked team against a 13th ranked team in Oregon coming up this weekend. So you proceed with caution when you get too excited. But I will say, if you want to talk about value, you can get Colorado at plus 860 on the money line. I smell a sucker somewhere. What do they say in Rounders? If you can't spot the sucker at the table, the sucker's you. Yep. All right. Still to come in the show, we'll have our Monday night football prognostications. Two games tonight. Two. So we'll have that coming up a little later on. Some good news involving the Tampa Bay Rays for a change. It's been all bad news when it comes to the Wander Franco situation, or Wander Franco situation. Some good news when it comes to the Rays. That is coming up. But let's say hello to our good friend. We affectionately call him the Prince of Picks, the one and only Sam Yarnell. Oh, it still says Bill Bender at the bottom of the screen. Ain't that great?
That's not me.
Nope, that's not you, but that's okay. There you are. So, Sam Yarnell, I'm curious what you made of, and I know you're not a huge college football guy, but the Colorado thing is kind of interesting. And look, I crushed them when they were down, and people came after me on X, formerly known as Twitter, because I was hammering them when they were down in the fourth quarter, and people were like, this tweet won't age well. But the reality is you shouldn't even be down against Colorado State at home. Now, and look, if you're going to go and toot your own horn the way Colorado wants to, and you're going to do all this showboating and all this stuff, people are going to be out to get you. I mean, they continually every week put the biggest bullseye on their back. And I think, and by the way, the party ends this weekend. They're going to get crushed by Oregon. So
I don't know if they'll get crushed. I probably wouldn't be comfortable laying the number. But this weekend in college football is going to be awesome. And I'm telling you, Jason, that game may not even grace my TV screen, because at that same time is when Ole Miss and Alabama kick off live from T-Town.
Alabama outside the top 10. Outside the top 10, first time in like 120 weeks.
Yeah, for the first time since before I was in college, right? So not actually, but
pretty close.
Almost, yeah. But I'm going to be glued to that game. I mean, Ole Miss all the way up to number 15. That's going to be a great SEC football game. Gotta love SEC football, man. And yeah, that's the 3:30 game I'm looking at. But this weekend in college football in general, we just got a loaded card. I can't wait to lose money, because I can never gamble as well on college as I do on the NFL. But that's neither here nor there.
Speaking of the NFL...
Oh, and then Ohio State Notre Dame.
Ohio State Notre Dame is just juicy. Yeah, I'm pumped for that game.
Yeah, this weekend's going to be great.
I'm pumped for that game. We'll recap how we did in Page versus the Prince a little later on. The Prince not so princely this weekend.
1-2-1. That's not bad.
What? That is not good. 1-2-1 is not good. Come on, man.
We're still plus money on the year, uh-huh. Jason.
1-2-1. My final ledger is still yet to be decided. because we've got the I've got the Monday night game tonight. Browns are my upset special this week. Take the 1.5. Although I'm not feeling as good about it with some of the injury news that's coming out of the land. So
lines are moving the other way too. I got the Browns 2.5 this morning.
Oh, really? All right. Well, then yeah. I get it at 2.5, don't I?
Sure.
I mean, I should.
No. We got to do it. We got it because we have to do it when we say the pick.
Yeah, that's
whatever
true.
The line
that's
is.
That's true because that's when that's we would be picking it. Yes.
Well, that's also how I push with the Niners this weekend because that number closed at 7.5 and yeah. I got it at 7.
Yeah. You were. It was fortuitous. To say the least, and that was a it was kind of a garbage, and that was kind of a garbage cover. Sharp. That's a backdoor, and that's a backdoor cover all the way. Chargers
we'll
kicking a
that.
Field goal. My we'll God! But without any further delay, something new we're going to do on Mondays here on the show: an opportunity to go around the league, but do it fast for the ADD society that we have all become. Second takes on each game. You like it fast? You're going to get it fast. I will give it. You okay, Sam? Did that disturb you?
Weird way of putting that, but yeah, sure.
Okay. All right. 20 seconds on each game. 20 for me, 20 from Sam. We're going to have to put a clock in the corner or something. All right, start with Falcons and Packers in Atlanta. Down 24-12 early in the fourth. Falcons rally to beat the Packers 25-24. Youngway Koo, the game winner, under a minute to play in the fourth quarter. Look, Atlanta can run the football. They ran it for 130 last week against a stingy Panthers defense. 211 on the ground this week. Desmond Ridder doing some things as well with the dual threat. Kind of flying under the radar when you talk about all these young quarterbacks. Fast start for the Falcons in an NFC South that all of a sudden, Sam, is starting to seem like a fun division.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves, Jason. Listen, what spoke to me the most in this game is I thought both of these defenses were going to be really legit this season, and I think both of them kind of showed a lot of their weaknesses, right? Especially the Falcons defense against the Jordan Love-led Packers offense, and quite frankly, I'm still not sold on Jordan Love. He proved in this game that he can't be a winner in crunch time. No fourth quarter points for the Packers in this game. It was all Falcons late. They kind of impressed me. I do think that the Falcons may have a chance to come out of that NFC South.
Yeah, it's a fun division, though. I mean, who would have thought we would have had two 2-0 teams coming out of the game? One of them would be Tampa Bay, which we'll get to coming up in a couple of minutes. All right, Raiders in Buffalo against the Bills. Look, Josh Allen was awful last Monday. By his own admission, by his coach's admission, 4 turnovers, you name it, it happened. Not the case this week. Bills run over the Raiders 38-10. Now, look, the Raiders were the perfect soft spot for the Bills coming off of last week. The Raiders can't take the football away from anybody. They were dead last year when it came to takeaways. Even Josh Allen, as much as he loves to just give the football away, even Josh Allen couldn't give the football away to the Raiders because they don't know how to take it. It doesn't sell me on Buffalo being better than Miami at all.
Took advantage of the get right spot. The Bills are 100% back. Josh Allen showed that he can make the week-to-week improvement that he needs to make to be a championship-level quarterback. He did exactly that and protected the hell out of the football and took his shots when he needed to, but did not take any extraneous shots. Listen, the Raiders did struggle because of the Peters and Devontae Adams injuries, and that probably led to this score being as lopsided as it was, but don't let it fool you. The Bills' defense is legit. They showed it against Jimmy Garoppolo in this game, who's a proven game manager. He could not manage this game. And the Bills are right back in title contention when a lot of other teams we expected to be aren't.
Title contention after week two. Come on, man. Ravens on the road against the Bengals in the jungle. I got it wrong. What could I say? Did not think that we would be talking about an 0-2 Bengals team coming out of week two. Ravens 2-0 after a win on the road 27-24. It's like a win and a half when you beat your team in the division on the road. This is what happens when guys don't play in the preseason, though. I'm sorry. These first week and a half for the Bengals, it's felt like extended preseason because Burrow barely played during the preseason. I don't care how good you are. Nothing can give you what playing in actual games gives you. Nothing can simulate that. You barely saw Burrow during the preseason. Offenses looked disjointed. Started to look better in the second half of this game. I'm still not worried about the Bengals. As for the Ravens, zero turnovers. My critique of them last week was that Lamar Jackson was careless with the football. He wasn't this week. Zero turnovers on the road. Much better performance than last week. Did what they needed to do.
Yeah, the Bengals are broken. Joe Burrow is clearly not the quarterback they're paying him to be. You know, there were a lot of people who speculated that something like this would happen when he signed that big quarterback or that big contract. We see that with quarterbacks all the time. They sign massive deals and then regress rapidly. I think that's what's happening with Josh Joe Allen. Burrow. People have figured it out. Josh Allen has done nothing but climb in MVP contention since signing his deal. And at this point in time, it looks like one of the better quarterback deals in the NFL. Anyway, back to the game at hand. Joe Burrow, clearly broken, going to have to cut his hair even shorter after that one. Don't know how you get shorter than that, because, man, he was really scraping the sides there last week. Listen, the Ravens are the real deal. They've revamped that offense. The new offensive coordinator, Todd Monken, has clearly got his foot on the gas pedal and knows what to do. I love the Ravens this year. I love them after week one. I love them more after week two.
Seahawks on the road in Detroit. Lions get a little humble pie. Seahawks a dramatic overtime win, 37-31. Lions coming off the highest of highs in week one. Seahawks coming off the lowest of the lows. Loss at home to the Rams. It's pretty low. This game's just a reminder. It's such a long season. Geno was Geno when it mattered most. Who would have thought we'd be saying that 5 years ago, by the way? Made big plays down the stretch. And these are a couple of teams that we could wind up seeing in the postseason. Wouldn't it be great if they played against each other? Because every time they play, it's fireworks.
Listen, when these two teams play together, it's just always a banger. And that's what we had again. I mean, who had 68 combined points in this game? Not me. Are the Lions still legit? I think they might be. I don't think that this is any reason to write off the Lions. Sure,
agreed.
It's a loss at home, but they looked so good in that Chiefs game. And quite frankly, you know, they looked good in this game. The Seahawks just played as well as they really could have. So I'm not at all concerned about the Lions. Good win for the Seahawks. They needed it, especially after week one. That's really all I took away from this game. I was kind of upset it didn't go under. This game just really seemed like it was going to be an under game just because of these two teams.
Why? The history, if you look at the last three games they've played against each other, they've all been over.
I mean how these teams look this season and just how you think about these two teams, right? Neither of them have super competent quarterbacks. Both have really youthful, prospective run games. And I thought we were going to see a lot more of that. But hey, I'll always take a fireworks show any day of the week.
Titans entertaining the Chargers in Nashville yesterday. Another overtime game. This time, home team gets the W 27-24. Tennessee coach Mike Vrabel. Let me tell you, this dude gets the last drop out of everything. They're going to ride the bus on this thing until the wheels fall off with Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill. They'll ride it till it falls off. DeAndre Hopkins was targeted in a few key spots, had four catches in the game. I expect to see him get more and more acclimated to this offense as we move on. And what else is new? The Chargers lose a close game. In other news, water's wet. Last four losses going back to last season by 3 points or less.
Yeah, listen, it looks like it's going to be another season of the Chargers being every Chargers game is going to be 27-24. You know, 28-23, something like that. And they're just going to be an over factory. I'm so disappointed. I thought the Chargers were going to win this game, man. I was sure of it. And then Brandon Staley. Why do we bet on Brandon Staley? Why do we not talk about Brandon Staley being on the hot seat? Because all he's proven in his entire tenure is that he can't win close games. And realistically, when you're coaching a team with Justin Herbert in the NFL, you're going to need to be able to win close games with coaching, not with quarterback play.
They should have left him in Jacksonville last year. I say it again. They should have left his ass back there. Because after that debacle, That's what happens when you have soft ownership, though. Tampa Bay with its home opener against the Bears. Bucks take care of business at home. Beat Chicago 27-17. Look, Tampa Bay is 2-0. And you know what they're proving? None of us know a damn thing about football. None of us know a damn thing about this league. Because there ain't nobody who had them 2-0 coming out of the gate. Coming off the Brady retirement. Baker Mayfield is your starting quarterback. Put your hand down. You're lying. Nobody thought they'd be 2-0. Baker throws for 317 and a score. And I'll tell you, one of the most underrated things in sports is belief. This team believes in Baker Mayfield. They believe they can win with Baker Mayfield. Now, at some point, you think the bubble's going to burst, but maybe it doesn't. There's a surprise team every year in this league. Maybe that surprise team this year is Tampa Bay.
I think what this game showed me more is that it may be time to give up on Justin Fields for the Bears. He looked awful again. And this is like 2 weeks in a row, but that's this year. All of last year, he was like mediocre, and maybe next year he'll take that jump. And it looks really bad for Justin Fields. It may be time to start thinking about who we're going to draft, because they do have two first round picks. And I think that's what a lot of Bears fans are reminding themselves of this Monday morning. For the Bucks, listen, let's not oversell ourselves. Sure, there may not have been anybody saying they were going to be 2-0 definitively, right? But I don't think anyone wrote off a team that has a Hall of Fame wideout, another Hall of Very Good wideout. And realistically, it's not that different from the team that won the championship just 2 years ago, right? So I'm not super surprised
except
by the quarter, Bucks.
Except the whole quarterback thing.
Right, but Baker Mayfield is not a terrible quarterback, right? Baker Mayfield, I would put on the same kind of tier as Ryan Fitzpatrick in terms of, like, will bounce around the league, will manage a game, can get you a win here and there, but, you know, in a mundane offense, he's not gonna take a mundane offense to the next level. If you give him a next level offense, he's a mundane quarterback that can keep that next level offense at the next level. And that's all he's doing right now. By the way, that makes that offense a lot more susceptible to crashing and burning. So let's not get too high on the Buccaneers. They could very easily, it could all go south for them in 1 week. But two good wins for them so far. You know, the win in Minnesota, good. And then, you know, a 6-pointer here against the Bears. All right.
Tied for the best record in the NFL. Those Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Better than the Bills, Chiefs, and Bengals.
I'm buying a Bucs. I'm going to buy a Baker Mayfield Bucs jersey. We'll put it next to the Jason Page Hartford Colonials jersey in the background. Chiefs Jaguars renewing acquaintances in Jacksonville. Kansas City does enough, gets a 17-9 win in the Ville. Jacksonville's a good team. Don't look at this win by the Chiefs as cause for alarm on Jacksonville. KC's 1-1. So are the Jags. I'm not worried about perennial winners looking their best in week two. So I'm not worried about the Chiefs. They'll get right. I want them looking their best in week 15, week 16. Same with the Jags. Trevor Lawrence missed on a couple of big throws in this game. They're still the team to beat, though, in the AFC South, aren't they?
I'm worried about the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs might be broken. Travis Kelce showed his age in this game. I know he got in the end zone, but other than that, I'm just trying to pull it up here. Travis Kelce, 4 receptions for 26 yards, 6.5 yards per reception. Listen, the Chiefs offense is not the same offense that we're used to having. They are really, really struggling without having any weapon besides Travis Kelce. And Travis Kelce, honestly, at this point in his career, isn't the weapon that he was even last year. This Chiefs team is something to worry about, right? When Sky Moore is your leading receiver, that's not a good sign. This was a garbage game. This was a toilet bowl. I was so disappointed in this game. The Jaguars their offense looked abysmal. Chris Jones is great. Hey, good thing he's back for Kansas City. They're going to need a lot of defense this year. Chris Jones looked great in this game, but my goodness, what a horrible game. And both of these teams are just looked terrible yesterday.
So interesting. You're not buying into the Bucks yet at 2-0, which to some degree I can understand. But you're already ready to bury a team with a pedigree the likes of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Trying to figure that out. Because it's the thing is, the quintessential part that you're missing is my expectation from the beginning of the season has barely deviated, because I know 2 weeks of football is not going to make or break a season.
No. Right?
Coming into this season, the Chiefs offense was a huge concern. It was a huge concern. I thought they'd get lucky and figure something out quick. They haven't.
I don't worry about any. I got to tell you, I don't worry about any of this stuff this early, because I'll keep saying it again. Look at the quality of football being played now, and some teams are a little ahead of others. But you look this early in the season, and you look at it in week 6 and 7, you're going to look back at this and go, oh, God, I might have been a little ahead of my skis here. I wouldn't worry about Kansas City yet. It's too early. They didn't have Kelsey for week 1. He couldn't practice. He got back to it this week. They'll work him back in. The Chiefs are going to be fine.
Well, it's not so much that as it's look at how these teams transpire from week to week, right? The really good teams in the league, the teams that are at the top of the AFC right now, the best contenders for the AFC championship game in my mind right now, the Bills and the Ravens, look at how they took their games from week 1 and improved on them so dramatically to come back in week 2. Now, the teams that we'd expect to do that, the Chiefs and the Bengals, neither of them did. And it was like, it made my brain hurt watching Joe Burrow out there making the exact same mistakes that he was making last week, making the same, you know, careless throws, not using his athleticism to his advantage necessarily throughout the pocket, right? And with the Chiefs, if you give Patrick Mahomes nobody to throw to besides Travis Kelce, right? And I get that he was injured week 1, but he was a game time decision for that game and had an entire week of practice leading up to week 2 to go for 4 receptions and 26 yards. It's something to worry about, right? Yeah, he should have been the focal point of that offense, especially in a game against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Last game in the early window, Colts on the road in Houston. Anthony Richardson leaves a 31-20 road win. Yes, Indianapolis gets its first win of the year, but at what cost? Anthony Richardson, concussion protocol, midway through. I was kind of surprised he went into the concussion protocol. I saw him slam the back of his head, but they didn't look like there were any signs of concussion. Of course, I'm not on the sideline. But he had 2 TD runs. The idea of dual threat quarterbacks, it all sounds so great, right? And we watch these guys. You know, the Lamar Jacksons of the world, the Desmond Ridders, obviously not in the same category. But you watch these guys that could run it, that can throw it. And I'm still left wondering if that kind of quarterback can ultimately, you know, Lamar Jackson just got this big deal. I've always said, you'll never win a Super Bowl with Lamar Jackson at quarterback. And I wonder if you could ever win one with a guy like Anthony Richardson at quarterback. It was when Steve Young reined it in, pulled it back, became more of a pocket passer, that Steve Young eventually was able to win a Super Bowl, get over that hump. The reality of dual threat quarterback isn't as glamorous or as fruitful as what we all think it can be.
So I'm not worried about Anthony Richardson injury-wise. He's 6'4", 245 pounds. He's a Josh Allen type, not a Lamar Jackson type. And we see that, you know, running quarterback Josh Allen does not get injured. With those kinds of injuries, right? The injuries that he has are freak injuries where a defensive line, where he's in the pocket and a defensive lineman yanks on his elbow. So I think that this actually realistically is not the worst thing that happened to Anthony Richardson, right? Let's assume he's concussed and let's assume he has to miss 4 to 6 weeks, right? Quarterback kind of need him to be all the way back from a concussion. Ravens, Rams, Titans, Jaguars, Browns, Saints. Maybe he comes back to that Saints game, but not a bad stretch to miss. And maybe the Colts can get some losses in here to raise their draft stock. No one expected them to be a playoff team, right? Everything would have to go right for them to win the AFC South, and they're not going to get an AFC wildcard spot. So this isn't the worst thing to happen to the Colts. Now they've got an excuse to just toss Gardner Minshew out there on a losing football team, lose a few games, raise their draft pick. In terms of the game itself, I thought Richardson looked great, right? He looked outstanding until he got injured. Other than that, Gardner Minshew, nah. They're not going to be a good football team with him, which is what they're going to have to deal with for the next however many weeks. I'm surprised they got the 31-20 win. I thought CJ Stroud would defend home field a little better, and I know that there was a lot of sharp money on the Texans this week. But, hey, we'll see. We'll see what happens with the Colts. I'm very interested to see when Anthony Richardson comes back from this, but I'm not worried about this being a constant thing or the length of his career. He's too big.
Your future NFC champs in Los Angeles to take on the Rams. Brock Purdy remains perfect. 7-point road win. Niners are 2-0. Hard-fought road win in your division. You just take it and move on. Three different Niners with rushing TDs, including Purdy and Christian McCaffrey. Two picks in the loss for Matthew Stafford. Puka Nacua. That dude continues to shine. 15 catches, 147 yards in the loss. 49ers, the team to beat in the NFC, Sam Yarnell.
Sean McVay went right to the stadium from the sports book to see what the spread was in the morning when he got there. That's why he kicked that field goal with time expiring so the Rams could.
So bad.
But anyway, no, listen. The Niners are the team to beat in the NFC. They looked so talented in this game. They're so talented in so many facets of football, right? They're so deep on the defensive line. Their linebacking core, not necessarily, but that they don't need it to be because their secondary is so strong that they can lock down any receivers. Puka Nacua is playing the Cooper Kupp role. The second that Cooper Kupp comes back, Puka Nacua's production will fall off of a cliff. You'll forget his name. You'll forget he was even good for the first 3 weeks. But if you're talking about fantasy football, spend all your money on Puka Nacua right now. And then when Cooper Kupp comes back, you'll have a player that's worth absolutely nothing. I think it's a great same with Tutu Atwell, actually, because both of those guys are going to just fall off the face of the earth when Cooper Kupp comes back. And somehow Ben Skowronek is going to find his way back to the Rams offense. And it's going to be just him and Cooper Kupp. And that's all the Rams offense is going to be. By the way, Cam Akers, weird situation with the Rams, right? Now they're just all of a sudden trading him again after they said they were going to trade him last year, then fell back in love with him, then started him this year, and now they're going to trade him again.
It's so a toxic relationship. It's just there's no getting around it. It's just
which
a toxic
is a shame,
relationship.
Cam Akers is a talented running back, and I'd like to see him get another shot somewhere else in the league, but yeah, what are the Rams doing handling their player relations like this? It doesn't make sense to me, especially when he's one of, you know, few actually talented skill position players that you have rostered. Other than that, Niners might be going to the Super Bowl.
Giants trying to avoid an 0-2 start in Arizona. Boy, oh boy. They rallied for a dramatic win, 31-28. Giants have been outscored 60-0. Going into halftime on Sunday. Rally from 28-7 down late in the third. Beat the Cardinals 31-28. That's the good news. The bad? Saquon Barkley. Ankle injury. They're calling it a sprain. Is it low? Is it high? We don't know yet. Giants offense, though, definitely woke up from its slumber. They're 1-1. Quick note on the Cardinals, though. And look, I know the team's going to be bad. They're going to have a terrible record. They tank. Maybe they get, you know, the kid out of USC, Caleb Williams. But Joshua Dobbs can actually play. There's a guy who was kind of picked up off the scrap heap, started his career in Pittsburgh, played one game last year in Tennessee. It happened to be a playoff game. And the Cardinals go and get him to sort of, you know, fill in for Kyler Murray until he's ready to play. But Joshua Dobbs actually has some game. You know, he's tough, had a good touchdown run in this game, can make some throws. It's not a bad quarterback. And there's a lot of those types of guys that sort of hang around the league. And I'm kind of rooting for Joshua Dobbs.
Josh Dobbs, a victim of taking another year in college. He actually was projected to go out in the NFL draft. Tennessee fans remember him well. He was a very successful quarterback in Tennessee. But then, you know, he was supposed to go out of his junior year. He was supposed to go pretty high in the draft, and he wanted to go back to and win more at Tennessee. And then he may have even gone undrafted after his senior year. Anyway, this game, listen, the only reason the Giants won this game is because the Cardinals got into the halftime locker room, saw the picture of Caleb Williams they have posted in the locker room above his locker that's already waiting for him next year, and they all remembered, oh yeah, we need to lose on purpose. Then they came out, played absolutely no defense in the second half, let Brian Daboll and the Giants walk to the victory. I am seriously concerned about the New York Giants. They are not a good football team right now. They were handed this game by the Arizona Cardinals in the second half, and quite frankly, through three of four halves of football that they've played this year, they've looked like a dead football team, a football team comprised of zombies, and maybe Saquon Barkley at times. Now he's gone, so it's all zombies. Brian Daboll, I love him. I love him as an OC. He might not be able to be a head coach. He was great last year, but now he's got full control.
My God, are you? This is like panic button Monday with you.
It's Monday morning.
My God,
Jason.
It's worse than that. It's panic.
We're here to get views.
Oh my goodness, it's panic button Monday. We need a button that we just push because you are panicked on everybody.
Bring the temperature down. I'm just not sold. I'm not sold down the hill on him.
Everybody's crashing and burning in Sam Yarnell's world.
The Giants could sneak into the playoffs still, but realistically, this is a team that's finishing in the bottom half of the league.
The other New York football team was in Dallas. Cowboys with no trouble against the Jets. I cannot believe this game went over. I would have lost my house. Because this would have been the game I would have just absolutely crushed. Like, I would have gone many units. We'll just say that. 30-10 was the final. What'd you expect, though? If you thought the result would be any different, then you were deluding yourself. Zach Wilson is not a starting quarterback in the NFL. The fact hasn't changed from last year to now. Now maybe the Jets will be a little more aggressive. Seeing this, if this doesn't make them more aggressive in the veteran QB market, I don't know what to tell you. 215 yards of total offense for the Jets. And Wilson threw three picks. Dallas is 2-0. Put them with the Niners and Eagles. They're the class of the conference.
New York sports, man. Mets gonna Met, Jets gonna Jet. tale as old as time. No surprise, they have an incredibly talented team. I know that the Cowboys put up 30 points on them, but that defense is one to be reckoned with. That is a championship level defense. They were on the field the entire game because Zach Wilson kept throwing the ball to the other team like he's a specialist in. They got to do something, man. Like, seriously, their window is
this is one where I will push. This is one where I will push the panic button on.
I mean, who isn't pushing the panic?
The Jets aren't pushing the panic button.
That's because they're delusional. Like I said, New York sports, they're all delusional. The Mets think they're going to be contenders in 2 years after they spent all this money on all these great veterans to win this year. It's not going to happen. It's the New York sports delusion. It's smoke and mirrors times a zillion. The Jets need to go out and sign Joe Flacco or Cam Newton or somebody who's better than Zach Wilson, because realistically, somebody who at least keeps the defense off the field for longer. Like, if that's the only way they're going to win games, at least let that unit have adequate rest. They got to do something. The Jets are dead in the water if they don't.
It's crazy to me. And when you start to hear the murmurs of Aaron Rodgers potentially being available in mid-January, they did this experiment. Hey, hold on. They tried this new approach to Achilles recovery. It's a it's sort of a bridge like brace that they put on it. It's supposed to make it faster in terms of recovery time. The guy who did it is one of the very best in the world. If the thought is we could have, but here's the thing. If the thought is we could have Aaron Rodgers back for the postseason, if they're going through all these machinations to get him back, then Zach Wilson as your starting quarterback makes zero sense. Unless they really are delusional on what he could be. Because you saw what happened yesterday. I don't care how good that defense is. I said this last week and I'll say it again. That defense is going to get burned out because they're going to be on the field all the time when your offense has 217 yards. Commanders were in Denver to take on the Broncos. Washington is 2-0. Sam Yarnell, say it isn't so. 35-33. This is as much about the Broncos as it is anything, though. Sam Howell, Commanders, 2-0, first time in 12 years. Eric Bieniemy does have the offense clicking a little bit. What's going on with Denver? Winless? This was supposed to be the soft part of their schedule where they could make some hay. Raiders, Commanders. It's going to get ugly. And this time, Sean Payton, you can't blame Nathaniel Hackett. Next week in Miami. Good luck.
Say it with me, Jason, and I know our friends in Detroit know this saying all too well. Same old Broncos. That's all this is. The Broncos haven't changed an ounce from Nathaniel Hackett to Sean Payton. Listen, Nathaniel Hackett was a terrible coach, and he is not a good head football coach. He's a great coordinator, not a good head football coach. Sean Payton can't. You know, there's only so much you can do. Sean Payton can do certain things better, right? Like, he can score 33 points against a good Commanders defense. That's something Nathaniel Hackett could not have done last season, I don't think. He can't get the win, though, right? This is an indictment on the Broncos. The Commanders 2-0, it's the most... I don't want to call it a fraudulent 2-0, but it's
Look at who they beat.
It's a fraudulent 2-0. They beat the Cardinals and the yes. Broncos, and they've got the Bills next week. That'll be a fun wake up call. Bet the Commanders +7. Let's get that line down a little bit. Anyway, this game, yeah, weird sequence there at the end to give the Commanders the win. They almost blew it. Their offense looks all right. The defense kind of struggled yesterday.
Yeah, and the one thing I will say is a positive for the Broncos. Russell Wilson played well. It was the closest he's come to looking like old Russell Wilson. And I don't mean old as in looking old, as in old Russell Wilson, as in playing like the old Russell Wilson. If there's a positive to take away, maybe it's that. All right, Sunday Night Football, 2-0, the Dolphins in Foxborough take on the Patriots. Dolphins 2-0, 24-17 road win. We told you, take the Dolphins. It was along with the under in that Cowboys game. It was my favorite game of the week. Told you to take the Dolphins -3. You might be able to slow him down. And for Bill Belichick to be able to slow him down as much as they did, it's just a testament to his being able to sort of strategize. But that's as good as you can do. And they still put up 24 on the road. That's what the Patriots found out Sunday night. Raheem Mostert, 121 on the ground. Problem for the Patriots is that the fish can beat you in myriad ways. Take away the speed and the deep threat, which they did for much of this game. Tua was patient. Dink and dunk. Hand the ball off. Miami's a beast, man. Y'all got to get it through your heads. They are the class of the AFC East through the first 2 weeks. Period. Full stop.
I was disappointed in this game. I thought that the Patriots were going to come out.
They've never beaten Tua. Bill's never beaten Tua. So why are you shocked?
Because I got, and this is a gambler's tale of me getting in my own head too much on Saturday and Sunday, right?
But no. After we,
Oh my God. after we recorded the show on Friday.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this game specifically because I almost put it in my my picks, my Page versus the Prince picks.
Mm.
And I got to thinking, I was like, man, I really like the Patriots. I like the 2.5. I think, Bill, if anything, I think it's a 1-point game with the Dolphins kicking a field goal at the end because McDaniel does some crazy stuff and marches them down the field after Tua looks horrible. This game was even worse for me because I took Hunter Henry first touchdown, which was like a $5 bet to pay out like hundreds. And he scored a touchdown, but it wasn't the first one. So tough game for Sam. I hate the Dolphins. They're so, like, the Dolphins are so not good.
I don't understand. What is your hate?
So oversold.
I can understand not liking Colorado because of Dion and all the shtick. I can't understand how you couldn't like the Miami Dolphins. We love the head coach.
I like the part that most people don't. I love their head coach. I think McDaniel's fun. And last night, I think he showed that even more when he was running off the field.
Yeah, I saw that. After the interview. Halftime.
Yeah, and the halftime interview that he did. Oh, I didn't do anything. I thought that was hilarious. I think the dude's great. I like his shtick. I just hate this team. I don't like Tyreek Hill. I don't like Tua Tagovailoa. I think Raheem Mostert is now getting oversold in the fantasy community and in the overall football community. Like, this is a bunch of players that were just thrown together. It just won't work out. I'm just so confident it won't work out.
Are you the kind of person that kicks small dogs and pushes old people downstairs too?
What?
Because only that kind of person could feel this way about the Dolphins.
He says to the guy with a picture of his small dog right over his shoulder.
By the way, is that a wiener dog?
No.
Looks like it's a wiener dog.
I can understand why you'd say picture. That from the picture. It's just at an angle looking. She was like looking up at the camera,
yeah.
Right? So it's the angle down. So yeah. She's not a wiener dog, though.
Okay. For those of you listening to the podcast, you need to understand this is why you have to actually watch the show, too. Available on Twitch, JasonPage77, over on X, formerly known as Twitter, at The Back Page, and on Facebook and YouTube, just search for The Cash In with Jason Page. By the way, if you have not subscribed to the podcast, make sure to do so. Subscribe. It's on all your favorite podcasting platforms, The Cash In with Jason Page, Google Play, iTunes, or what's it called now? Apple Podcasts, I think. It's all over the place. Spotify.
Like and subscribe.
Yeah. Like and subscribe. Yeah. Like and subscribe. Even if Sam Yarnold. I mixed in Yarnold Sam Palmer. Darnold. No, it was Sam Darnold and Sam Yarnell. I mixed the two together. Yeah. Even if Sam does like to push old people down the stairs and kick small dogs. All right. So that ran a little longer than I anticipated. So we only have a few minutes left today. Yeah, that ran a little longer. So only got a few minutes left. Quickly, before we do our Monday Night Football picks, on baseball, Tampa Bay Rays are getting a new stadium in St. Pete. Boy, I don't know what it is now, but, I mean, remember when stadiums started to shrink? Camden Yards was the start. Pittsburgh did it. Some of these ballparks that are smaller. They're talking about a 30,000-seat stadium in St. Pete. And maybe that's just because they know what their audience size is. And it creates demand. So you build these smaller ballparks, these more intimate ballparks. That's what they're going to do in St. Pete. Half of it's going to be paid for by the Rays organization, half of it to the county and city of St. Pete, I believe. That's great news, though, for baseball, that you're not going to have this Rays team moving because it is an organization that continues to churn out great prospects. They're going to be perennial contenders every year. They're very well run. So I'm glad to hear that they're going to be staying in St. Pete. The baseball stuff, the wild card races are so tight. I'm not going to run through all of them right now. We'll do some baseball at some point during the week, though. We'll get Bob Nightingale on the show from USA Today. Talk some baseball with him. Monday Night Football, you got the Saints and Panthers. You got two games tonight, so I get to miss two games because I'll be bowling. Let's see. Can I'll be able to watch about the first half of Saints-Panthers. Monday night and Tuesday night is bowling night for me. So, Sam, I'm counting on you to watch these games. Saints-Panthers tonight in Carolina. Browns-Steelers, which, if you missed it in Paige's picks, that is one of my picks for this week. Got the Browns, plus 1.5. The current line is 2.5, but I got it at 1.5. I think the Browns are going to get a win tonight. Even without, what, Amari Cooper, I think, that's going to be missing this game, dealing with some injuries. Or I think he's doubtful or something like that. Who do you like tonight, Sam?
Unders. I love unders tonight, Jason. Listen, both of these games are going to be close, realistically.
Vegas thinks so.
Yeah, it's tough for me to pick. Well, right. That's what I'm talking about in terms of sides. I think the Saints will win the game. I don't know if they'll cover the 3. I think the Browns will win the game. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers could make it interesting and cover the 2.5. At the end of the day, I'll lay the 2.5 with the Browns. I'll probably take the 3 with the Panthers and give me both unders.
I still feel good about the Browns. Unders, I tell you, I'm a little gun shy on these low totals after what happened to me yesterday with the Jets and Cowboys.
It's exactly what they want you to do.
Yep, but they did. It does scare me a bit. Saints and Panthers, I think, could. I don't have a good feel for either of these games. If I were betting Sam Yarnell's money, I'd take the Saints minus 3. And I'm sticking with the Browns minus 2.5. I had them at 1.5 on Friday for the sake of Paige's picks. You got any good gambling knowledge you want to pass along before we go?
I would say if you really like a side going into the next week, if you're a fan of a team or you just know that there's a game coming up, you know, next Sunday, today, right? If you're thinking about a week 3 game today, go and bet it right now if you're very confident about that, because chances are if you wait, that line will get worse and you'll get better value right now. So if you really like the Bills, if you think they're going to wallop the Commanders next week, go get that Bills minus 7 right now, because chances are when you wake up tomorrow or Wednesday or whenever, it's going to be Bills minus 8.5, and I'll bet you that line closes closer to Bills minus 10, especially after the showing they had this last week. That's it for me.
By the way, if I may say so, it's over in Anaheim. Shohei Ohtani left this weekend, and he ain't ever coming back.
Cleared you guys,
oh my God, he's back in Japan. They could not have screwed this up worse in Anaheim. They should all be hung in effigy. I mean, it's over in Anaheim. Pack up the bus. What a joke. I screamed for months, trade him, trade him, trade him. No, can't trade him. Maybe they'll have a shot to get him back in free agency. Coming off this mess? Trust me, it was more than symbolic for him to clear out his locker and head back to Japan instead of hanging out in the U.S. for the final week and a half, 2 weeks, whatever it is, of the Major League Baseball season. It's over in Anaheim. Ohtani is gone. Start lining up the new suitors. Yankees are off tonight, which means I can't lose money on them. We'll be back on Tuesday for a brand new edition of the Cash In Daily Podcast. All right, Sam, we'll see you tomorrow. Have yourself a great day doing whatever it is you do, kicking small dogs and pushing old people down the stairs.
What, Grandma? You need help down the stairs? Coming.
For Sam Yarnell, I'm Jason Page. We'll see you back here on Tuesday.